Today on the Profitable Tradie Podcast.
It's so much easier to just say, I can't, than to figure out a way that you can.
Yeah, I get it, but that won't work.
It's just too hard. You can't do it.
It won't work for me. It's too hard. We're different. Everything we do is different.
It's a small town. There's not much work on. And then they're in the city and they're like, oh, it's a big town. You know, there's too much competition. Dude.
Oh, our work's so complicated. It's impossible for us to delegate and get other people to help. Like, I have to do it because it's so complicated. No one else can do it. Really? You're the only person who could ever do it in the world? If you stop making excuses and start taking action, you'll generate growth and change in your business and in your life. Excuses come in many shapes and sizes, and there is one excuse that I hear all the time that's stopping business owners from achieving the success that they want and that they deserve. Now, this excuse is cunning, and it doesn't really look like an excuse, but it is. Now, tune into this episode where we bust open how dangerous the "my business is different" and the "that won't work here because" mindsets are, and why you must bust through these excuses.
You're listening to the Profitable Tradie Podcast, where we'll help you turn your business into a money-making machine. We know you're busy, so we'll make it worth your time. Thanks for tuning in, and remember, time is money, and we're here to help you make more of both. So hit the follow button, and let's get started. To the podcast.
Alrighty, welcome to the podcast. Tony Fraser-Jones here, the host, with my good mate, Phil Smith. How you doing, my man?
Mate. Always good, always good. Coming in hot.
You are, mate. Excuses.
Yeah.
Let's not have any. Let's get into it.
Yeah, let's do it. Basically, I think everyone thinks their business is a little bit different, right? Or, you know, that they and their personal circumstances are different. It's a pretty natural thought. And, you know, this can cause us to feel like our situation is special, or, you know, that what works for other people won't work for us. And, you know, this comes up all the time when you're coaching people, right? Like, it's all the time.
Yeah, it's like we'll talk about a situation, we'll talk about some options, and it's like, yeah, I get it, but that won't work because of X, Y, and Z. Insert excuse here.
Yeah, my town is different, my clientele is different, my niche is different, my trade is, insert problem here.
Yeah, that's right, and look, I get it. The problem is here is that I know that everyone is special, for sure. I mean, you're definitely special, and I appreciate that about you.
Beautifully and fearfully made, mate.
That's right, there you go. Oh, you've been reading the good book. I'd like
that's
to hear
it,
that.
That's it.
But it's highly unlikely that anyone listening is that special that what we're talking about won't apply to their business.
Absolutely.
And that what works for pretty much everyone else won't work for your business. And I know that's probably hard to hear, but I can tell you after coaching thousands of business owners that there is some stuff that just works, and often we've got to get out of our own way to actually make it work. And that's understanding that the things we're coming up with are actually excuses. And it's really that it's an attitude or a belief that we have that causes us to get stuck, and we think it's real, but it's actually, you know, it's a belief or a value dressed up as an excuse. This is a big problem because it keeps you stuck. It stops you moving forward when you could move forward if you looked at it a different way. And what we'll do today is, you know, talk about how this is an excuse, why it's such a problem, and how we can actually bust through this issue, because it's very important that you do. Otherwise, you'll find yourself stuck in life and business. Going to pass you by.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure you got a story to kick us off.
I do have a story. Back in the early 1900s, you know, just before I was born, mate.
Arguable,
yep. Making cars, car manufacturing, really slow and laborious process. And people who did it, they looked at it as like a craftsman's job. So, you know, you'd have a car that was the centerpiece, and everyone would crowd around and build that car, and it was done by skilled professionals, and everyone thought that was the way it should be done. No one thought you could do it a different way. You know, this is other ways of manufacturing just wouldn't work for cars because it was too technical, it was too difficult, it was too skilled. There was all these reasons, you know, insert excuse here, why it couldn't be done different. But Henry Ford didn't buy into that mindset. He had a completely different view, and he looked outside the industry for inspiration. He saw that the meatpacking industry actually was very different. It used conveyor belts and moved things through the process, you know, the products to different stations to have the work done on them. And he thought, well, why can't we apply that same principle to car manufacturing? And, well, as we know, he did. And he completely changed the face of modern production and obviously car manufacturing, you know, despite lots of skepticism when he first implemented it in 1913. And the result, well, production time dropped from, you know, sort of 12 hours to 90 minutes for a car. And the results for obviously his business were enormous, but also for society. Costs plummeted, car ownership skyrocketed, and the Ford Motor Company just dominated industry for decades and is still, you know, a big player in the car manufacturing industry. So, you got to be careful about the stories you tell yourself about why things won't work, because you might just be wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. And instead of going from like this won't work to how can this work is a very powerful thing, and I think a lot to learn there from old Henry Ford. But yeah, definitely if we can get stuck in that mindset of my business is different, we run into a whole lot of problems. So should we dig into that?
Yeah, I mean the big thing is you just literally get stuck in the way you're doing things, and you create a limit for what's possible, and that stops the growth of your business. Because you don't take any more action because you don't think it's possible, and your business sort of stagnates, which can result in a bunch of things. Poor profit, poor cash flow, can leave you to being overworked, burnt out, and frustrated because you can't create a lifestyle because you just think it's impossible. Maybe, oh, there's no people to employ here or no one wants to work. There's all sorts of things that come up there. And what I find, this really flows through, is if you're in this mindset of that, hey, this won't work here for, insert excuse here, you actually create a culture of excuses in your business. Yeah, that'll flow down to your team, and they'll sort of be in that passive, life's just happening to me sort of mindset. That builds bitterness and resentment, and you can you can die lonely, broken, and broke.
Sounds like a good way to be.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's really serious. This, it's not good. And just from a practical perspective, you'll miss a bunch of proven solutions that actually would work really well in your business if you just kept an open mind and looked at things, and you end up reinventing the wheel as well. You might, just try stuff from scratch and try and work everything out yourself rather than actually just seeing what other people have done and trying it. So it's a pretty serious problem. We see it a lot. And if you're listening and you're in that position, listen up, because I think this is going to really help.
Yeah, absolutely. And on the other hand, if we can break that cycle and smash through that kind of mindset, there's a lot to be gained on the other side.
Yeah, well, it's kind of the flip side of the coin, really. If you stop making excuses and start taking action, you'll generate growth and change in your business and in your life. It's really simple, because you'll try different stuff. Some of it will work, some of it won't. That's fine, but some of it will work, and that'll get you progress that you want. And so you can increase your profits, your cash flow. You can grow a lifestyle and grow a business that supports a lifestyle. That's massive. That's going to give you a massive amount of confidence. You're like, actually, I can do this. I can make changes. I'm powerful. I'm in control of my destiny. You build a can-do culture in your business. And you get smart. You don't reinvent the wheel. You just figure out what's working for other people, adapt it to suit your situation, and away you go. And life is way, way easier. Because I can tell you, there's very few problems that we've seen in literally thousands of businesses that we've looked at that other people haven't solved.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot we can learn from other people and learn from the past and then tweak it, make it even better as well. So a lot to be gained.
Even when our situation might be different, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's right. It's always how can I apply it?
Well, it's a story we tell.
I can't.
It's a story we tell ourselves.
Absolutely. So should we dig into what this looks like in practice? Because I think some real life examples are probably going to be useful.
I think the thing with this excuse of my business is different or that won't work here because is if you're listening, you're probably like, I get that. But you may not really understand how deep and wide this problem actually is. And so, I thought maybe we'll blast through a few, scenarios of where this might play out. And that might help you realize where you're actually, kind of taking the soft option and letting yourself off the hook from making decisions. And so, there's a lot of this around pricing and financials. Yeah. And so an example might be, I can't charge that much because my industry's too competitive. Yeah. Or how often do we hear that?
All the time.
All the time.
Yeah, or people will see right through my pricing and know what it costs me, and they know that I've marked this up a whole ton, and they'll never go for it because it they know it's not worth it.
Another one is, we do lots of bespoke and custom work, so it's actually impossible to standardize any of the pricing, so that won't work here.
Yeah, or I work with like four different options of each fitting, so therefore I can't standardize the pricing because the variables are too much. I mean, it's just too hard. You can't do it.
Yeah, it won't work for me. It's too hard. We're different. Everything we do is different. That's actually an excuse.
Real life one I've had on that is I live in a small town, and the biggest business in town is Bunnings, and most people work there, and so they know what all the fittings cost. I'm like, dude, like, firstly, that's just not true. And secondly, come on, wake up.
Yeah, and
so they should buy them and put them in themselves then. Yeah,
that's right. And then you can fix up all the mistakes.
Yeah, that's right.
Which you can charge handsomely.
Make a killing.
That's right.
Pay
that's
the
right.
dumb tax.
Yeah, fix the problems your husband created. So pricing is a big area. I could never charge that much because people don't make that much money here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I can never charge that much because this is a poor area. or, you know, I can never charge that much because all my people are low income earners. I don't know, whatever. Just there's so many.
The list goes on. Yeah. The list goes on. Yeah. Next one for me, my trade is different. You know, people don't want to work in this kind of work. It's too hard, or it's, you know, there's too much danger, or it's too much complexity, it's too long to train for. Like, but basically my work or my trade is different, and I can't find people because, you know, they don't want to do it. And you know, I always find this one interesting because people work on power lines. I'm like, you couldn't pay me enough money to do that. People clean toilets for a living. I mean, that's hard. I mean, it's hard for different reasons, but. And again, no shade on these jobs. But my point is there's lots of hard work which is difficult. There's lots of hard work which is unpleasant. There's lots of hard work which is dangerous. And there's lots of hard work that takes years and years to train for. And yet people work in those industries. So what's really the difference? But I suppose you know, that one comes up a lot. My trade is different.
My trade is different. People don't want to do this kind of work. Or well, what about nobody wants to live in my area? There's nobody here that I can employ because nobody wants to live here. It's a, you know, well, they call it shithole, to use a French word, yeah. But nobody wants to live here. Or another one is all the young people want to work in the city.
Yeah.
Can't get any apprentices. Oh, they're all left to go to the city.
Yeah, yeah. You also get that in terms of, you know, finding work as well. As it's a small town, there's not much work on. And then they're in the city and they're like, oh, it's a big town, you know, there's too much competition.
Yeah.
But either way, it seems to not matter where you work, it seems to be bad.
That's right. There's an insert excuse here. Another one might be, oh, our jobs, they're too unpredictable to schedule. Like, it's impossible to schedule our work. Mm. I just can't do it. It's like, I don't know how much time, you know, stuff's going to take, etc. No way I can schedule it. We'll just have to, like, turn up when we turn up.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe.
Well, you see this one all the time. I mean, like, had a plumber, actually, I needed to get round to my house recently, and he said, oh, I'll be there any time on Wednesday. And I was like, could you at least tell me maybe morning or afternoon? Any time on Wednesday. And, you know, if we're busy, it might have to be Thursday. And I'm thinking, should I take, like, the week off work to just hope that you might come around? Like, it's ridiculous, really. But I would hazard a guess that guy probably thinks something along those lines.
Yeah, and I mean, it might be a similar thing as, hey, we've got too many types of work to have a system, like, we can't systemize this. We can't put processes in place because we just do too many types of work.
Yeah, flow on from that is not only can I not systemize my jobs, but I can't systemize anything in my business because this one part is difficult. So
that's right.
Yeah, it's a sort of flow on effect too.
Yeah, and I mean, people look at McDonald's and think, oh, that's easy to systemize. But I can tell you, when they started out, nobody thought they could do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah. What about this one? Cash flow is real hard in my game because the way payments work in my business. Like, I can't have good cash flow because just the way, you know, people pay, the times they pay.
Yeah, exactly.
Too hard.
Everybody knows that, you know, you do the work, you pay to do the work, you finish the work, and then you wait a few weeks, and then you invoice, and then you wait a few more weeks, and then that's when the client wants to pay. Everybody knows that is the norm.
Yeah, and you've got to chase them up five times to get paid. That's normal.
Yeah, in fact, they're waiting. On the fourth time, they're not going to pay you because they know that the norm is to wait for the fifth.
Fifth time,
so
that's
the
right.
Client's waiting there like, yeah. Oh, yeah, I want to pay, but hurry up, make that last call just so that I know it's time, I can do it now.
Yeah, and I mean, a similar one is like, hey, payments, that's just the industry standard. It's like nothing I can do outside my control. I'll just have to, like, I don't know, pay interest on my overdraft forever and suck it up.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, you have to get a bigger overdraft so you can grow. Next one is, my town's too small or too big or too much traffic. There's too much travel. I mean, again, it comes back to that whole thing. My town is different. It's funny how every single person's town is different. And don't get me wrong, there are differences with every town. But, you know, if you're in a big town, there are benefits and, you know, difficulties in a big town. There are benefits and difficulties in a small town. And some of them are the same. Some of them are the complete opposite. But one is not better or easier than the other. They're just different.
That's right, and
it's funny how everybody's town is completely unique in their own mind.
That's exactly right. And another one that I find is like, oh, our work's so complicated, it's impossible for us to delegate and get other people to help. Like, I have to do it because it's so complicated, no one else can do it.
Yeah.
How many times have you heard that? Like, flipping heck. That sounds painful to me, but it's definitely something that people believe. And I'm not denying that some work is complicated, but really? You're the only person who could ever do it in the world?
I'm the only person who ever knew how to price this type of work, and therefore I can't get an estimator. And, you know, not only that, but I was actually born with this God-given skill of this very, very difficult pricing method that only I will ever understand because I'm a mathematical genius with, you know, the perfect process that I also can't articulate or train anyone on. It's a gift.
I think you're being a little sarcastic.
You'd be surprised.
I think no, I wouldn't, because I've done this.
And to be fair, I've done it too, right? You know, like you have jobs that you do and you're like, I don't know how anyone else could do that. Like, I'm just good at it. And the hard part with that is it's like, you weren't born with that. You learned it. You learned it from somewhere or someone. And so someone else could learn it too. But we tell ourselves the story of like, I'm not really sure how I do this, and therefore I can't teach someone else, right? It's just kind of the way it goes.
There is another one, which definitely has some challenges, but it's still an excuse. My business is seasonal.
Oh,
so,
I love that one.
It's, you know, I'm selling aircon units, and it's super busy during the summer when it's hot, and I no work during the winter. Or, you know, if you live in a cold area up north, it's like, well, we got to shut for 6 months of the year. We can't do any work. We can't dig into the ground because it's frozen.
Yep.
Okay, I get it, but there's a solution to that as well.
Yeah, it's not that it's untrue, but you're seasonal by choice in that way. I mean, like, you're telling me, and this is what this, yeah, I suppose, the story they're telling to themselves is, there is no possible way that the skill sets within my business and the abilities of my team could add any value to any particular possible client in the off season of our core work. It's not possible, which I think we'll find might not be true.
That's right. And I think the thing with all of these are they are legitimate challenges. And they can make your business somewhat difficult at times. But if you just say that's the way it is, it's actually an excuse, because it means that you're saying any change, any progress, anything to make the situation better is outside of my control. Well, that's the key.
It absolves you of the responsibility to adapt.
And that's right.
I think actually that's a big, you know, thing to really dig into here, because a lot of people, the reason we fall on excuses is not because we're unresourceful or, you know, a bad person or anything like that, but we chuck these excuses out there to absolve ourselves of the responsibility for taking ownership of change or adaptation or, you know, finding workarounds. It's so much easier to just say, I can't, than to figure out a way that you can. And it means that, you know, rather than having to figure something out and try it and potentially fail, or, you know, maybe you try something and it works, but it adds some complexity and then you got to figure that out. You know, instead of having to go through all of that difficulty, you can just rest on it's not possible and feel better about yourself. Like in the short term, it does feel better, but it's kind of like pissing in your pocket to stay warm. Eventually it cools down and now you're cold and you have a pocket full of piss, which is not ideal.
No. And the thing is, well, she said it feels good in the very short term. It condemns you to a life of poverty, poor profit, frustration, and disappointment in yourself as well. And that's not good. And really, really what happens when you make what is an excuse, I'm not saying it's not perfect and simple, but it is an excuse, because there is nothing really in life that there's, you know, in this situation that you can't do something about. There is always some way you can improve the situation. And by just saying, oh, I can't do anything, you give your power away, you're just kind of saying, oh, life's not fair and life's just sort of giving me a bad hand. Well, that's just ridiculous, because it's not true. And we've talked about this on the pod before, and it's really understanding, and this is critical to success in life, business, relationships, wherever you know, whatever field of play you're talking about, is to understand, you know, what's going on above and below the line. And, you know, if you operate below the line, that's where you do make excuses, you blame people, and you know, you act as a victim. It's like life's happening to you. There's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing you can change. You can't control everything, anything. And so that's where you become a victim. And when you use this as an excuse, you're basically the victim of your circumstance. And victimhood just leads to despair.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's not a good place.
Yeah. And well, on the other side, if we're getting above the line, you know, pretty good benefit.
Well,
right?
Well, above the line is a completely different look at things. It's where you take ownership of your results. You're responsible for your actions, and you're accountable for them. In a sense, you are steering the ship that you have. And when you operate like this, that's where you control the controllables. You actually, you know, make the changes that you can in the situation that you're in, even if it's a bit tricky. And so, you know, if we think of a few examples, like there's no young people in my town. Okay, well, it may be that your town, you know, people do drift away from there to the cities for the bright lights and whatever else. And yeah, that happens. And maybe you do struggle to attract young apprentices. Okay, that's fine. Well, what's the upside? Well, it's probably like, you know, as an example, if you're above the line, maybe, well, house prices, property prices are probably reasonable. It's probably a bit quieter. It's probably actually quite a good place for, you know, maybe people who are not young, maybe they're in their 30s, late 20s, 30s, 40s to raise families.
Yeah.
And so you could probably attract people of that that era to come and work. Or maybe instead of training young apprentices, you can retrain adult apprentices, because you know, there's not that many opportunities in that town. You can give them an opportunity, and you've got this different way of looking at it that can actually be really beneficial for you. Yep. That's how someone operating above the line would look at it. Someone below the line would say, oh, it's too hard, I can't find anyone, I'm just going to have to do it all myself.
Yeah, well, another way you could look at that is all the young people want to live in the city and I live in the country. Young people don't want to live here. It's like, that's cool. It means you should have a whole bunch of, you know, mature people that are more grounded and not going to bugger off all the time because they're happy living here and they're probably more experienced.
Put some roots down already.
So the people in the city are like, all I'm getting applying is these young apprentices with no experience. You know, and it's funny how they see exactly the same situation, but they only see the negative side of their coin as well. It's almost like this coin has no tails. No matter how you flip it. I mean, if you look at the city one as well, I mean, again, flip side of that, you get people who are in the small town, like we said earlier, and they're like, well, you know, it's a small town, there's not that much work on. Whereas you could say there's a small town, there's not that much competition for the work that's here. You know, the people in the big town or the city are like, hey, look, you know, we're in the city, there's so much competition, I you know, it's hard to compete. Whereas you could also say, yeah, but there's also so much work that, you know, there's plenty to go around. So it's funny, it's a different side of the same coin, right?
Yeah, well, there's another classic one that we see is, you know, if you're in a smaller town, people are like, oh, well, it's really hard to grow my business because there's not more, you know, there's not that much work. And so what we've talked to many of our members about and seen lots of people do successfully, rather than just saying, well, I'm just a plumbing business, for example, they were like, okay, well, I've got these plumbing clients who are good clients, but they've got all these other needs. They need some electrical work done. They need some chimneys cleaned. They have some hardware requirements. It's like, okay, well, instead of just being a plumbing business, we're going to be the business that serves these clients, you know, home service needs.
Mm.
And so they create like a home service company.
Yeah.
And they can love all those needs the client has and build their business that way.
Yeah, I got a boardroom client at the moment. He started his electrical business, but he does electrical. Then he got into home automation. He does HVAC. He does security and he does solar. So basically, any of those kind of needs, it started off as just come around and do some electrical work, but basically he can kit out your whole house with anything you need. And so, yeah, it's a small town, but he gets a ton of work. And not only that, but it's differentiated him against other electricians. Why get this guy around who might be able to do some stuff versus this guy who, it doesn't matter what's going on, he's the guy.
Yeah. And then the flip side of that, the person in the big city is like, well, they don't have to do that. They can actually niche really tightly and maybe they just do hot water heating systems. That's all they do. But the market's so thick in that area that they can really target on that and drill down and make that their thing.
And become, you know, a specialist. And charge a higher rate and become very, very efficient, get better systems, really, really tight training of the team. Like, you know, so there's benefit to that too. But point is, it doesn't matter where you are. You don't just have a disadvantage potential, you have an advantage potential as well. And so it's being able to see it on that other side of the coin.
That's exactly right. And I think what the point here is, if you allow yourself, you know, to buy into the excuse that your situation is different and this won't work here because whatever it is, that actually leads to, you know, you giving up opportunities for profit, lack of growth, your team will get frustrated, you probably won't hire people, stress goes up and you're left basically, you know, having a small operation running around trying to do everything yourself because of the excuses you told yourself about what's possible and what's not.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the whole key there is just, again, you're missing those things because you're only seeing it through the lens of I can't because rather than how could I, you know, or what could I do or how could I work with this? And that's really the key. So should we discuss how to move forward? You know, if you catch yourself actually making this kind of excuse and you're in that mindset, what do we do about it?
I think, you know, it's a relatively simple fix. The first one is being aware of it. And hopefully by listening to some of the examples today, you've figured out where am I doing this? And there'll be other ones as well for sure. But the most important thing is to think about how can I be above the line? How can I take responsibility and action that will help me move forward, no matter how small? And that's really about controlling what you can control. That's the key to success in business and in life and to feeling good about what you're doing. Figuring out your situations, what's something I can do to actually move the needle forward on that?
Yeah.
And that could be very small. And, you know, here's an example. Let's say you're in a really price competitive industry and a lot of the prices you're getting from your contractors, or your clients, builders, whatever they are relatively fixed and there's not a lot of wiggle room there. Okay, that's frustrating. But what's the opportunity? I can actually, for example, what I can control is I could become a gun at creating a team that is incredibly productive.
Yeah.
So I could just drill down on the productivity of the team, the training, the systems, streamlining all the material ordering, all the pricing, everything, get it so streamlined that even though my pricing is not quite where I want it to be, I can create margin because I'm way more efficient.
Yeah.
And I could create a competitive advantage that other people don't do. That's a way of controlling what you can control rather than just giving up and saying it's too hard. It won't work here because of whatever.
Yeah.
So I think that's important.
Well, another example of the same thing. I mean, people who say, hey, my trade is different. People don't want to work in this kind of work. You know, example we gave earlier. You know, if you can control what you can control, you say, well, hey, look, I can't control more people wanting to do it. But what I can control is that, you know, I can notice, hey, not many people want to do this trade. You know, it's not a high demand, sexy trade to be in. Cool, that means less people are in this, which means that the demand for this type of work probably exceeds the supply of tradesmen that actually are in there, which firstly means I'm going to have less competitors, which is great for, you know, me actually getting clients. Secondly, is it means that I can probably charge a premium for the service that I offer because there's not many people running around doing this. So it's not like you have many other options. This is a scarce resource as people that are able to do this type of work because people don't want to get into it, which means that for every hour that my tradesmen are on site, they're probably earning more than that trade who, you know, is plentiful, where there's just heaps of people running around wanting to do it. And so actually I'm in a more profitable trade because people don't want to do it. You know, it's just flipping the lens there.
Yeah. And, you know, let's say, for argument's sake, you were in a really difficult situation. There was actually nothing practical that you could actually do about the business situation you're in. Well, you're not a tree, you know. Like, you can actually move as well.
Yeah.
Like, you can move town, move city. You can set up in a different location. Like, you are not a tree. And so just to say, oh, it's too hard, I can't do anything, it's too hard, is absolute rubbish. There is always an option. And sometimes you have to take that option. I'm not saying it's always easy. But if you want the success that you talk about, then you have to take those options.
Yeah.
And I don't know who said that, you're not a tree, you can move. But I really like it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's true. And so it's just about looking for the opportunity in the situation.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, what we find when we talk to people, isn't it? It's like, if you're stuck, sometimes it's because you spend too much time looking at your own navel. You actually need to, you know, lift your head up and look around at what other people are doing and other businesses.
Yeah.
And that might be, you know, business associations. It might be coaching groups like Million Dollar Trading. This is what we do a lot. It's like the community that we run is incredibly powerful because the people who come into our program aren't like, you know, they're not any more special. They are special, but any more special in terms of the skills they have, but they have a slightly different attitude.
Yeah.
And that is they're willing to look at what other people are doing and they get inspiration from that. And so when they come to a boot camp or an event, and we're handing out black belts where people are being awarded their black belt for achieving $1 million net profit in a business. Not revenue, but net profit. People are like, wow, that's a thing.
Yeah.
Like,
And he's from a town just like
yeah,
mine.
Yeah, and I probably don't have any excuse for why I can't do it because I can see someone else do it. Yeah. And so that's very important. If you find yourself stuck, you got to look around at what other people are doing to see that this stuff is actually possible. And that really does help lift you out of your own sort of funky headspace.
Yeah.
And put you on the front foot.
I think for me, just lastly, I also just try to play this game with myself. Because I think everyone experiences this. Like me and you experience this too, obviously. Everyone has their limiting beliefs from time to time. And I find if I catch myself doing it, I try to force myself to argue for the other side. And I'll just write down as many reasons why I could be wrong or essentially ask myself the question, if I had to look at this completely in the opposite way, what would that look like? Now, I always think of this this story, and salesman tasked with selling shoes over in Africa, and he goes over and he looks around, and he comes back to his company over in the States, and he's in dismay. He's like, it's never going to work. Nobody there wears shoes. So second salesman goes over, and he comes back jubilant, and he's like, this is going to be too easy. Nobody there wears shoes. And like... I just try to remind myself of that. It's like literally the same problem, same issue, same circumstance. They just looked at it differently. And so I just try to tell myself, if I'm really stuck on something, if I had to look at this from the other side of the coin, what would that look like? And you'd be surprised how easy it is sometimes. Like sometimes you feel like you're taking the mickey out of yourself doing it until you reread what you wrote. And then you go, actually, that makes a lot of sense. And that could be true as well. So
yeah.
I find that really helpful.
It's a good story.
It's a good story. Anyway, should we land this plane?
Let's do it. So the "my business is different" comment is really just an excuse by another name that stops you as a business owner taking the action that you need to improve your situation. Now, if you buy into this excuse, it will rob you of the success that you want and that you deserve. And the key to moving through challenging times is to control what you can and keep taking action no matter how small it is, and that will improve your situation. Thanks heaps for listening. We'll catch you all again next time.
See you later.
Next week on the Profitable Tradie Podcast.
As a business owner who's built your business on hustle and doing the hard yards, dealing with young people of today who want flexibility, purpose, and everything now, and an SMS instead of a phone call can make you lose your mind. Now tune into this episode where we dig into what makes the Gen Zs work and how you can build a team culture that works for them without destroying your will to live.
Congratulations on being part of a select group of savvy business owners who are taking their businesses to the next level. And to help you on your journey, don't forget to check out our show notes for a copy of our free book, The Profitable Tradie, and other valuable resources. Thanks for being a part of this special group, and we'll see you in the next episode of the Profitable Tradie Podcast.